Matthew chapter 4, we'll start in verse 17. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once, they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and illness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. This is God's word to us this morning. Let's pray and ask for his help. Father, we praise you that you are a mighty God. We praise you for the plan of salvation. And we praise you that despite your great, mighty nature, despite how huge and how wonderful and how much bigger and more amazing than us you are, yet in your kindness, one of the things that you have done is you have spoken to us. You've revealed yourself to us. So help us to be those who listen to what you have to say to us today. Would we be those who aren't just hearers of your word, but doers of it too? Help us to respond in the light of what we hear, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, I want you to imagine that you're going on a fishing trip. I don't know if you like fishing. I don't know if you've ever been fishing. But you decide to go on a fishing trip. And so you go to a lake. You find a boat, you sail out onto the middle of the lake, you find a good spot for fishing, and then you start fishing. You get out your rod, put your bait on the hook, cast the bait into the sea, you sit down, and you wait. Now imagine the same scene, but from a very different perspective. You're a fish. You're swimming happily along in a lovely lake. You're thinking all about... Well, you're not really thinking much because you're a fish, but you're thinking about how you need the next meal. That's what you know you need. You need some food. And would you believe it? You're in luck because dangling right in front of you is a free bit of food. And so you swim up. You open your mouth. Yummy. Tastes a little bit metallic, but it's worth it. And then you begin to feel a tug on your cheek. And so you try to swim away, but you can't. And suddenly you're flying through the water and you're going up, up, up and through the surface, just swinging in midair. And then, slap, onto the deck of a boat. Now imagine something crazy happens at this point, okay? So you're going to have to just use your brain cells, okay? Imagine that at the moment that the fish hits the boat, the fish suddenly turns into a fisherman. Right? So the fish turns into a human being. The scales fall off, the gills disappear, the fins start turning into arms and legs. And now the fish is sat on the side of the fishing boat with a fishing rod in hand. Now that's a ridiculous example. But would you not agree with me that that is a significant change for that fish?
It sounds a bit fishy.
It sounds a bit fishy. Yes, Les, you can come again. Sounds a bit fishy. But imagine that it happened, right? You imagine that you were that fish, okay? And suddenly you have turned into a fisherman. Wouldn't you agree that's a radical transformation? Something huge has happened. There's no going back to the lake. Once you belong to the lake, but now you belong on the boat. Once you were breathing water, now you're breathing air. Once your purpose in life was just to get the next meal, but now your purpose is to catch other fish. It changes everything for that fish. I want to suggest that becoming a follower of the Lord Jesus is as big a change as a fish turning into a fisherman. That's how radical a transformation it is when you become a follower of Jesus. And if we don't understand that, then we don't really know what it means to follow the Lord Jesus. That's what we're going to be thinking about this morning. Jesus is the master fisherman. We are fish. And when you've been caught by Jesus, it changes absolutely everything. In our verses, you might have noticed as we read that the word follow comes up quite a lot. In these verses, Jesus calls his first followers. These are the first responses to his teaching that we hear. This is like Jesus' first catch. And there are two sides to it. For a fish to become a fisherman, that means leaving the lake and it means boarding the boat. So those are our two things today. Tyler, if we could have the first slide up, that would be good. Okay, next one. I'll click it, don't worry. Here we go. So to become a fisherman means leaving the lake. That's the first thing. Look at verse 17 with me. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Everything up to this point so far has been preparing Jesus for the ministry that he had. So he's been born, he's been baptized, he's been tested by the devil, and now he begins to preach in the region that he's just moved into last time. Jesus knew that the people around him were swimming in dangerous water. They were like fish swimming around a poisoned lake. The Bible explains that our way of life is like poison. We have lived for ourselves. We've rejected God's life-giving word. We do things that are wrong. Even in our own eyes, we know that they're wrong, let alone in God's eyes. And when we live that way, when we swim around in that kind of lake, it's dangerous. It's like poison. It causes us damage, and eventually, it leads to death. I don't know if you saw that guy, the war criminal, recently, who, after he was found guilty in court, he took a vial of poison and he drank it. He died. Poison is dangerous. And swimming around in this lake of rejecting God and going our own way is a dangerous thing. It leads to death. And so as Jesus opened his mouth, it was like he was casting out a hook into the lake. He was seeking to rescue people from this lake of death. And immediately, we see people responding to Jesus' message. Verse 18. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. They were fishermen. It was their job, physically, to go and catch fish. But spiritually, they were fish. They were just like everyone else around them. They were swimming around in this poisonous lake of living their own way and going against God. They were in danger. They needed to be caught by Jesus. And so when, in verse 19, Jesus says, "Come, follow me," he is hooking them in so that they might live. And following Jesus changes everything. It's like a fish that's been caught. That means leaving the lake behind, leaving the old behind. And we see that here for the first followers of the Lord Jesus. They leave lots of stuff behind. Look at verse 18. Verse 18, they leave behind their routine. I love that little phrase. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Thank you for explaining that there. They weren't just like randomly casting nets into the lake. That was their job. That's what their routine was. Day after day, this is all they knew. At the night time as well, probably. They'd go out day and night, casting nets into the lake, pulling them back in, taking the good fish, putting it in a bucket, taking the bad fish, putting it back in the lake, and then putting the nets out again, and pulling them in, out. Shake it all about. I couldn't resist. Okay. That's what they were doing there. Every day, that's all they were doing. The nets was their job. That's their livelihood. That's their living. But when they met Jesus, look what happened. Even though these were the guys who lived, breathed, and ate fish, Jesus says, "Follow me." In verse 20, at once, they left their nets and followed him. At once, they leave behind the daily grind. The day after they followed Jesus looked nothing like the day before. The whole shape and pattern of their life was changed. They left behind their routine. They left behind their livelihood. Look at verse 20 again. They left their nets. Verse 22, there's a second set of brothers and they leave their boat This is the tools of their trade. This is what they relied on to put food on the table for their families. This was their financial security. It's a bit like a delivery driver just parking his van at the side of the road and leaving it there. Or a chef taking off her hat and putting down her knives and walking out in the middle of service. Everything about them changed. The foundation of their life, the basis of their life had shifted. And so that even meant they left behind their family. Did you notice that in verse 22? Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. It was a family business. But they just met their new boss. Jesus' call trumps even family relationships. Now, it doesn't mean that they had to cut all ties with all of their family or even with all of their past. So actually, as you read the Gospels, you see that the disciples spend time with their family. They're in the houses of their family. So it's not like they had to just ignore them. And actually, even after the death of the Lord Jesus, when the disciples are in despair, some of them actually go back to their boats. They go back to their fishing. So it seems like they have kind of kept a hold of them in some way. But regardless, this is a massive, fundamental change. It's a radical transformation to their life. Following Jesus changed everything. The day after they followed Jesus looked nothing like the day before. It changed the basis of their life. It changed the pattern of their life. It changed the purpose of their life. When you go from being a fish to a fisherman, that means you have to leave the lake behind. Following Jesus is not a hobby. It's not something you do in your spare time when you get a minute. It's a transformation to the whole pattern and foundation of your life. It changes everything. There's a house on my road which has just been sold. It's just a few doors down from where we live. There was an old lady living there. She's moved out and they've got new owners. And the new owners have ripped everything out of the house. They've just started from scratch. All of the fixtures and fittings and the trimmings, whatever else, the technical terms for those things that you find in your house. They've been putting them out in the front garden, piles of rubbish. They've ripped out the old so that they could put in the new. It's a complete overhaul. It's not just a bit of DIY. They haven't just changed a few bits and pieces. They basically ripped it out until it was a shell and then they started afresh. And that's what it's like when we become a follower of the Lord Jesus. It's not just a little bit of DIY. It's not a patch up to certain areas of our life. It's not the things that we can fit in when we've got time to do it. It's a radical transformation of life. It might look the same on the outside, but on the inside it's completely new. Jesus changes everything. Like a fish becoming a fisherman. What a ridiculous thing. But that's what it's like. Nothing stays the same. And if nothing stays the same, well, that means leaving the old behind. It means leaving the lake. If you're someone who hasn't yet experienced the transformation of Jesus, then I want to be upfront with you. If you're not someone who is truly following Jesus day by day, then I want to be honest because you've got to know what you're getting into. If you want to keep your life the way it is, then following Jesus is not for you. Following Jesus demands change. It's difficult. It's not necessarily an easy or a comfortable thing to leave the old ways behind. And so if that's you, then I want you to count the cost. Following Jesus changes everything. And some of us here have really felt that cost and experienced it for ourselves. Each of us will have slightly different stories. But we know that it's not comfortable to leave the lake. There are people here this morning who know that following Jesus can really genuinely mean broken family relationships. And that is a real cost. That is a genuinely painful thing. If that's you this morning, then what a wonderful truth it is that by faith in the risen Lord Jesus, we are adopted into the family of God, the royal family. Others of us have experienced that cost in different ways. But my guess would be that for many of us this morning, we need the reminder to leave the lake behind. Because that's something we find it hard to do. My guess means that the struggle for us is not necessarily feeling the cost, but actually not leaving the lake at all. At one holiday when I was growing up, my dad took us on a mackerel fishing trip. So we went out on a boat into the sea. but that is where mackerel live. Just superfluous details to the story, I'm sorry. Anyway, so we go out into this boat. We've got the rods on the side of the boat. I don't think I caught anything, actually, that day. I'm not very good at fishing. But someone else did. Someone who was nearby caught a fish. And as he was reeling this fish in, just as it got towards the boat, the fish managed to wriggle off the hook, landed on the deck of the boat, slipped across the boat, and through a tiny gap that was there for draining water, through the gap and out into the water again. Now, he was the luckiest fish alive that day. But I think that's often our danger. The danger is we say, yes, I'm going to follow Jesus. Yes, I'm going to leave the lake. But, oh, it's so nice. I want to go back. We love the lake. Even though we know it's poisonous, even though we know it's going to lead us to death, our old life has some sort of weird attraction to us. In what ways are you tempted to paddle in the poison? Take a moment to think of that. In what ways are you struggling to leave the old behind? In what ways are you paddling in the poisonous lake? Maybe there are certain sins that we just love to hang on to. We know it's not right, but you know, you can always ask for forgiveness, so it's not that serious. You haven't quite killed that sin. You're holding on. If you're still living like you did when Jesus fished you out, then I urge you this morning to be brutal with sin. Following Jesus means leaving the old behind, and that means cutting it off. Do whatever it takes to leave that poison behind. Maybe there are relationships that you protect, even though that means compromising your walk with the Lord Jesus. Are there people that you need to leave behind to follow Jesus? Perhaps it's financial security that you struggle with. The disciples, the first followers of Jesus, they left their boats, they left their nets, they left their livelihoods. But maybe for you, that's a real struggle. Are you choosing a work pattern that damages your walk with the Lord Jesus? Do you want money and comfort and business success so much that it stops you from meeting regularly with God in his word and with God's people as we gather? You see, following Jesus means a radical change from what your life was before. It always means that. It will look different for each of us, but it always means a complete and radical transformation of life. It's as big a difference as a fish leaving the lake and becoming a human being. The day following the Lord Jesus should be nothing like the days before we followed the Lord Jesus. Is that true of you? That's a tough question to answer, isn't it? A day following the Lord Jesus should be nothing like the days before we followed the Lord Jesus. Because Jesus changes everything. Are you leaving the lake behind? Are you willing to leave the lake behind? Are you willing to do that for Jesus? The one who left heaven to come to the poisonous lake. The one who left behind what was comfortable, left behind what was convenient. The one who on the cross knew what it was to have a broken family relationship, as for the first time there was distance between him and his father. The one who took the cup of sin poison and drank it down to its very dregs instead of me. So that he could fish me out of the poisonous lake of death. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Just like that house on my road. It might look the same on the outside, but the inside should be all new. Will you follow the fisherman? Will you leave the lake behind? That's the first side of the coin. There's a second part to following the fisherman. You leave the lake, but you board the boat. You leave behind the old so that you focus on something new. And Jesus has a job for us to do. Verse 19. Come follow me, he said, and I will send you out to fish for people. The disciples had a new master and a new job. I don't know if you remember playing hide and seek as a kid. Do some of you younger ones still play hide and seek ever? You know the concept of hide and seek, right? Everyone hides, and one person tries to find them. And in certain versions of the game, once you've been found, you then become a finder. You join the team looking for the other people who are still hiding. And that's the case for us if you're a follower of the Lord Jesus. If you've been found, you become a finder. The fish become fishers. That's the change that Jesus makes. Those who have been rescued from this poisonous lake of death now belong on the fishing boat, desperately trying to gather others on board as well. Having left the lake, you now board the boat because you've got a job to do. And so the disciples, they set out with Jesus as he goes in verse 23. Verse 23, Jesus went through Galilee, that's a region that he was living in, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and illness spread all over, among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. The disciples joined Jesus on his fishing trip. The three main parts of Jesus' ministry are there in verse 24. They were teaching in the synagogues, preaching in public, and healing. We read about those many who had those various diseases, pain, seizures, even demon possession. These who are deeply needy, they come to Jesus and he heals them. I was writing this part of my talk, sat in North Middlesex Hospital just across the way. And I was surrounded by various people who were ill in various ways, various people suffering pain, but also by the people who were trying to help them. So the doctors, the nurses, the radiographers, all in their blue, green, pink scrubs, different colours. What ones? Andrea, which one is the which one is it for nurses? Colour scrubs? White and blue. White and blue for that one. Okay, there you go. I'm not very good. They're different colours. Anyway, so they were all trying to help the people who were ill. And we're so grateful for people like Andrea and for people who commit their lives and their energy and so much stress and pain to help us to be well and healthy. But even Andrea and others who work at North Middlesex Hospital do not have the power that Jesus has. So as I sat there reading this part of God's word in the middle of a hospital, it just struck me how amazing it must have been to see many of various diseases come and with a word, Jesus heals them. Incredible. Those physical healings are a taster of the kingdom that Jesus was bringing. Physical healing, freedom from pain, is not something that is promised to all believers in this life. But it is a foretaste of the kingdom that Jesus will bring into full force when he returns. A kingdom where there will be no pain and no tears. And that's the kingdom that Jesus was telling everyone about. Did you notice how closely his healing is connected to his teaching? The display of his power gives confidence in what he is saying. The works point us to the word. And that's really important. Churches get into all sorts of problems and all sorts of troubles when we begin to separate the power of Jesus from the word of Jesus. But for Jesus, teaching is the priority. He's on a fishing trip. He's casting out this hook to those in a poison lake. He is proclaiming a message. It's described in verse 23 as the good news of the kingdom. It's a message of help for the helpless, hope for the hopeless. It's the message that Jesus himself would not simply teach, but he himself would live it out. Jesus is the royal son who came into the poisoned lake and bore the effects of sin poison as he died on the cross. A royal son who rises again and welcomes people like you and me into his royal family simply as we put our trust in what he has done on our behalf. That's good news. That's good news, isn't it? That's the good news that Matthew wants us to believe. This is the Jesus that Matthew wants us to follow. Are you following Jesus? And if you are a follower of Jesus, then you get to be part of the mission. They join him on his fishing trip. They are with him as he scoops people out from the poison lake of death. And as they cast out this life-giving message, look what happens in verse 25. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. The Decapolis was to the east. Judea was to the south. Galilee was in the north. Jesus caught fish from across the whole region of Israel. And the disciples got to be a part of it. Isn't that a great promotion for them? They'd gone from being fishers of fish to fishers of people. They'd gone from bringing people a nice dinner to bringing people eternal life. Wouldn't it have been amazing to be part of that mission trip? Wouldn't it have been cool to join them? The good news is, we are. Matthew famously ends his gospel with the last chapter, 28. And as he ends this gospel, we see that this mission trip, this fishing trip, isn't just for the first four followers of Jesus, but for every follower of Jesus. He says, go and make disciples. He says, go fishing, board the boat, cast out this life-giving message of the good news of a kingdom. Gather people in. So if you are a follower of the Lord Jesus, go fishing. That's the job that Jesus has given you to do. It's not optional. It's not just for Saturdays. It's not just for other people. Maybe you think, well, I already use quite a bit of my spare time for church. I give my spare time to Jesus. But if you have been caught by Jesus, if you are a fish who has been rescued from the poison lake of death, then your life is not your own. You don't have any spare time. This is your full-time job. You're a full-time fisherman or woman. Your status should always read, gone fishing. This is our job. And the great thing about it is, each of us who sat here this morning, each of us who is a follower of the Lord Jesus, is fishing in different ponds. Jesus is the master fisherman. He has a master plan, and he's placed us in the life circumstances and situations and areas that we're in for a purpose. Some of us here are fishing in the workplace. Perhaps your workplace is full of dying fish, and maybe you're the only fisherwoman or fisherman there. That is the pool that you are to fish in. Others of us are mums, and so at the school gates and in those tots groups, you have a unique pool of people that only you can fish to. All of us live in different neighbourhoods. We live on different roads. Some of us are neighbours, which is good. But a lot of us, if you were to take that map at the back and put a pin in where each of us lives, we'll see that we are actually across a wide range of this area. Why has Jesus put us in those positions? Because around us we have a pool of people who we are to fish to. Can I identify a danger for us as a church family? I think a danger for us is that we forget what we're about. By God's grace, when this church was planted 2 years ago, and as people have started to gather in, we were a church who knew that our job was to be fishing. We knew that we were to be on mission. And in God's kindness, I think he has kept that vision alive in our hearts. But in God's kindness, he has also gathered many people in. He's gathered people as we've gone fishing. Lots of people have been gathered in. And the danger is that we turn this church into an aquarium. That we think, wow, I mean, not today because there's snow, but normally on a Sunday morning we feel quite full. There's not a lot of empty gaps. Maybe you think, wow, there's lots of for us to focus on in here. We can just have a nice little party where there's pretty fish swimming around. But we must never forget that we also need to be out there. This next year, we're going to be focusing on how we can strengthen and grow as a church family. We want to be those who individually and together grow in our knowledge and our love of the Lord Jesus. And over the next year, we're going to be putting in some practical things, some structure in place, so that we can flourish and grow as an independent church family. And those things are really important. But we must never forget that the reason we are here is to go fishing. We're not an aquarium, we're a fishing boat. We must never forget that the reason we want to grow and strengthen is so that we can go and fish. So if you're a follower of the Lord Jesus here this morning, let me tell you to go fishing. Let me encourage you from God's word to do that full time. The danger for us as we strengthen and grow and as we feel good about ourselves in here, the danger is that we forget that there are people living in Statham Grove and there are people living in the Dickens estate on our doorstep who are swimming around in a poisoned lake of death. The danger is that we forget that when we walk past people in Edmonton Green, or when people get on the bus, or when you bump into people at school, or when there are neighbours living within yards of you, the danger is we forget that they're dying. We forget that their only hope is the good news of the kingdom that Jesus spoke and that he has given us to speak as well. We must always be those who are going fishing. If we don't go fishing, who will? If you and I don't go fishing, who will? This is a deeply needy area. They talk in the papers about overfishing seas. That's not the danger here. The danger is there are so many fish in a poison lake. And it is our job as a church family and as individuals who make up this church family to get out our rods and go fishing. Board the boat, pick up your rod, go for it. Maybe you think, well, I'm not a very good fisherman. I'm not. I couldn't even catch a mackerel on a mackerel fishing trip. But maybe you think, I don't really have much to offer. I'm not very good at holding out this message of life. But don't we know from reading the Gospels, who is it that gives us the catch? It's Jesus. He is the master fisherman. And the wonderful good news is that as we hold out this message, what happens? Verse 25, large crowds from across the region followed Jesus. My prayer is that large crowds from all over Edmonton, from all over those maps there at the back, large crowds flood to follow the Lord Jesus. As they do, it will change everything. Following Jesus is as big a change as a fish becoming a fisherman. It changes the basis of your life. It changes the pattern of your life. It changes the purpose of your life. And this is the great thing that we're a part of. As we draw to a close in this series, we've seen that God is gathering and growing his royal family. That's what we've seen throughout the series. And the man who stands at the center of this good news plan is the Lord Jesus, the royal son. It's the good news of the cross and the empty grave, which means that dying fish like me and you can be adopted into the family of God. And as you follow Jesus, that means leaving the old lake behind, and it means boarding the boat, holding out that same good news so that others might be gathered in too. Once we were fish, but now we go fishing. Let's pray together. Father, we praise you so much for Jesus, the master fisherman. We thank you that he left the comfort and convenience and security of heaven to come into this poisoned world and to bear the full effects of sin, poison, as he died on the cross in my place and in the place of all who will trust in him. We praise you for the life that we can have by faith in this Jesus. That is the best news there is. And so would you help us to be those who, as a church family and who as individuals who are following the Lord Jesus, take that good news message and cast it out to others who are dying. Please would you help us to be those who go fishing so that many more would be gathered into your royal family. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.